Hey, everybody. Tantrelli Kirk Show. Dr. Barna joins us about the recent revelations of where do Americans stand on their worldview and what is causing them to become less religious. And then Senator Mike Lee joins us as an update about his race on how the Uniparty is trying to derail his candidacy. Email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Subscribe to the Charlie Kirk Show podcast and hit subscribe. Get involved with Turning Point USA Today at tpusa.com. Start high school chapters, start college chapters, or join us on tour at tpusa.com/tour. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage. For personalized loan services you can count on, go to andrewandtodd.com, the wonderful andrewandtodd.com. There's a fascinating series of studies that are published. The American Values Study, which is just purely data, and it really shows where we're at as a country and what do people want. It's administered by George Barna, Director of Research at Arizona Christian University, another one of the few colleges, I think, that really does a nice job. ACU is a good school. It is. Arizona Christian University. And I'm kind of going through this study here, and I have lots of questions. So to help us navigate it all is George Barna, Director of Research at the Arizona Christian University, and we're talking about his study. George, welcome to the Charlie Kirk Show.
Charlie, thanks for having me. Good to be with you.
Thank you. So the floor is yours. Tell us about the major findings in this latest study that I think came out 2 days ago.
Actually came out yesterday. And it's really interesting because we know that people are very upset with what's going on with government, with politics, with the direction of the country. And they're finally in a place where I think we're in enough pain. That's usually the only time people change, is when they're in a situation of pain, where they realize, okay, we've got to figure out what kind of leaders we really want. And as we evaluated both their values personally and what they're looking for the country at large, what we found is that they want different kinds of leaders. They want people who demonstrate their integrity, don't just promise it and talk about it. They want people who have character, but we know it because we see it in how they act, how they live, how they treat other people, the kinds of policies that they present. And maybe even more than those, they want people who are in this to serve the public. They're not in it for their own best interests. They want government to be something that takes care of the needs of the people as opposed to their own personal needs. And so to them, that means protecting and expanding freedom, taking care of the family, promoting stability, not trying to consistently have major transformation of our systems. The people are saying, you know what? We want things that we know, we trust, we can live with. They're predictable, they're consistent. We want to live our lives. We don't want to have to spend our time worrying about what the government's going to do to us or allow us or not allow us to do.
That sounds small c conservative. So this is mostly adults that you polled, is that right?
All adults, people 18 years of age and older across the country, nationally representative sample.
So some of these, for example, you know, the kind of the headline here is that Americans want more kindness. Is that right? Is that part of this?
That's part of it. They want, oddly enough, they want political leaders who are not going to be arguing with each other. They want political leaders who are going to demonstrate kindness and respect and generosity and compassion, even toward the people that they disagree with. They want to go back to a time when our leaders were willing to sit down and talk about things, see if they could work it out. They don't want all the yelling, the lying, the deceit, the manipulation that's become basically synonymous.
I definitely don't think we need more kindness, but I'm in the minority here. I don't think you should be kind to people that chemically castrate children. But so that's an interesting thing. So I understand that because it's like water. They want the easiest path, right? It's this ideal, and they don't quite, I think, realize what we're up against. But so there's really interesting questions here, right, as we go through this. So it said, individuals should have the rights and freedoms to make legitimate choices rather than having government make those choices for them. 76% of people agree. Now, was this amongst any sort of crosstabs, or was it just kind of a general, you know, 1,500 adults? Meaning, when you looked into any, did it get more so as people got over the age of 50 or less? I'm sort of interested in that.
Yeah, in fact, all of the questions that we looked at, there were discernible demographic patterns. And one of those is that people 50 and older wanted this kind of more reasonable society. People under the age of 30 were less interested in that. Mm-hmm. People over the age of 50 don't want the government tinkering in their lives. People under the age of 30 would like government to take care of a lot more stuff for them. But the interesting thing to me across all the different crosstabs we looked at is whether you looked at Democrats, Republicans, independents as one set of crosstabs, mm-hmm. young, middle-aged, older as another, different ethnic groups. A majority of Americans said that they wanted all of these things. The one exception was liberals, where we had just a plurality, not a majority, but a plurality of them saying that they wanted government to stop meddling with businesses and they wanted government to stop tinkering with their lives. So, I mean, by and large, we're at a point where I think people are tired of all the rancor that we've seen in campaigns and they want something different.
So let's just kind of transition, but it's kind of correlated. What does your recent study show about the state of faith in America?
Well, we're constantly doing studies related to faith because we think it all comes back to that and basically your worldview. Mm-hmm. And so what we found there is that Americans essentially are very confused. If we look at the worldview that people possess, what we discover is that it's not a biblical worldview, even though you've got about 7 out of 10 Americans calling themselves Christians. You got half of Americans who believe they have a biblical worldview. Only 6% do. What do most people have? Something that we've labeled syncretism. 88% are best described by syncretism, which means that what they do is they pick and choose ideas from many different philosophies of life. And so they'll buy into a few Marxist ideals. They'll buy into some postmodern thoughts. They'll buy into some Eastern mystical ideas about how to live and so forth. And they put all those together into a personal blend that then becomes their own unique worldview. So it doesn't really work very well when you look at that, because often there are contradictions within their own worldview. And when we ask them, how do you reconcile those? They say, I didn't know I had those contradictions. And secondly, I'm not really worried about it. We'll just see how it works out.
Yeah, I think that's very accurate. That's totally true. So let me ask you then, just from some numbers, the recent poll or whichever one you want to pull from, maybe in the last month or last year, how religious is America right now?
We think we're more religious than we actually are. And so to us, there are two different things you have to measure. One is beliefs, one is behaviors. If your behaviors don't comport with your beliefs, you don't really believe what you told me you believe. And so when we look at the beliefs, what we find is that people say they're very spiritual, they're religious, they're active spiritually. But then when we look at the behavior, we see a downward trend in almost everything that we measure, whether it's church attendance, Bible reading, prayer, worship engagement, confession of sins, talking with other people about their faith. All of those things are on the decline.
Yeah, but just some numbers, like what percentage of young people would be religious versus atheist or Christian versus atheist?
If you wanted to look at it, say, in terms of what faith people are aligning themselves with, you would find that across the country, about 68% of Americans would say that they're Christian. You'd find that close to 30% are in a category that we call the don'ts. People who either don't know, don't care, or don't believe that God exists. And so those people then get strewn across other faith groups that don't necessarily believe in the God of Israel, the God of the Bible, but they would say that we're all gods, the universe is our God, the environment is our God, those types of things.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, you know, there has to be a correlation here of how, you know, people are just disconnecting from this culturally for a lot of different, I think wokeism has a lot to do with this and just deconstructionism and postmodernism and all of that. So we can keep on going through these studies. I'm just kind of going through some of them. It's very interesting. And it real the national moment of truth one that we've just been going through is super, super fascinating. So Dr. Barna, let me ask you about this other study that came out a couple weeks ago. America's values identify possible means to national unity. Tell us about it.
We looked at 48 different values that people might possess, trying to figure out what really matters to Americans. And what we discovered is some interesting things. Number one, far and away, the most important value to 8 out of 10 Americans is their family. 8 out of 10 Americans said they would die to protect their family. They would fight to protect their family. They would sacrifice precious resources to take care of their family. That's what they're looking for. Related to that, we found that 7 out of 10 said happiness was something that they're pursuing in their life. And then there are other things that are very important to most people, personal goodness, demonstrations of that in terms of their character, their integrity, their personal responsibility, things like personal maturity. They want to have the opportunity to keep growing as a human being, to understand their purpose in life, to work hard, to get ahead. These are the kinds of values that really matter to Americans.
So how do we then reconcile some of these findings with how half the country seems to not believe this? I mean, I guess, is it kind of back to this contradiction? I mean, you're talking about how family is a core value and the data shows that, and I agree. But at the same time, we have this mass movement of children being sexualized and a destruction of the nuclear family. So is it, can it be that the values are there and that they're not connecting them culturally and politically? Do you think that might be the case?
Yeah, I think that's a great way to put it. One of the things that we've seen is that people possess these values, but if you then challenge them and say, "Well, why does family matter to you? What does family mean to you? Where did that come from?" They really don't get it, because as Americans, we're people of action. We're not people of reflection. And so what happens is we're constantly keeping ourselves busy. We're trying to achieve things. In many ways, that's what made America great. We're not people to sit back and wait for stuff to happen. We try to make it happen.
That's exactly right. So you've been doing this for a long time. What trend do you think is most important? Not individual study, but trend over a period of time. Do you think is most important for our audience to know about, good or bad?
I think it's the fact that we're losing touch with the moorings of the things that are most important to us. And so that comes back to worldview. We've got to help people go back and figure out why these things matter, how they came about, what it could look like in their life, what the implications of other choices are. Your worldview is nothing more than your personal filter that you use for making every decision that you make every moment of every day. Everybody has a worldview. The problem is we don't think about our worldview. We've let other people dictate our worldview. It's time for us to take control of that as well.
And so the trend you're seeing is that people are becoming just disconnected from having a stable or rational worldview, would you say, or a biblical one?
Yeah, what they're doing is they're letting the culture influence them rather than them influencing the culture, letting it reflect who they really are, what they really want, what they really believe in. And so this is one of those things where, again, children are so critically important, because a worldview begins developing at 15 to 18 months of age and is almost fully formed by the age of 13. Teenagers in 20s, they can modify it somewhat, doesn't change very much. And then by the time you reach your 30s, you become an evangelist for your own worldview. So it's very important that we be focusing on children. This is why schools matter. What they're learning in schools, the kind of experiences they're being given, the kinds of philosophies they're being taught, it's going to stay with them for the rest of their lives. And so that's why we as parents have to protect them from the things that ultimately are going to cause harm to them and our society.
In closing, about 30 seconds remaining, have you seen a disturbing uptick in nihilism, or let's just say kind of nothing matters and I don't care?
It's one of the faster growing trends of thought, patterns of thought. And it goes back to the fact that young people are saying, I don't have any sense of purpose in life. So why should I keep living? Why should I care about so many of these other things? That goes back to worldview.
Yeah, that's what these people have done. Dr. Barna, great work. You're welcome back anytime. It's really great research. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Charlie.
Look, if you don't want to accidentally take a laxative and have the worst day of your life, listen to this. If you're currently taking a magnesium supplement, chances are you're literally flushing it down the toilet. I experienced that. It's not fun. You see, the most common type of magnesium is actually used as a laxative. So if you're taking it, you're probably, let's just say, depositing it in a place you shouldn't be. With 80% of Americans who are actually magnesium deficient, what if I told you you could be making that deficiency worse by actually taking the wrong kind of magnesium? Sort of paradoxical, isn't it? The worst part about magnesium deficiency is how it affects almost every aspect of your health. Health, your metabolism suffers, you can't lose weight, your blood pressure goes up, and a whole lot more. And the worst part is your sleep suffers. So what is the solution? It's called Magnesium Breakthrough. It's my favorite magnesium product that I continue to highly recommend. It's the only full-spectrum magnesium supplement with 7 unique forms of magnesium that your body can actually absorb. And this month, they're including free bottles of their full line of digestive health products on select orders while supplies last. That means you're getting free products to try that will support your digestive system. Having an optimized digestive system means less energy, trying to digest foods, and absorbing more nutrients from the foods you eat. This special offer is only available at magbreakthrough.com/Kirk. Visit magbreakthrough.com/Kirk. Enter code KIRK10 for 10% off any order. You need magnesium. Go to magbreakthrough.com/Kirk. Senator joins us now from the great state of Utah. Senator, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Charlie. Good to be with you as always.
So we spent a lot of time on this Federalist story. I'm not sure if you saw it or not. It's a great story. Well, it's not great because it's happening to you, but it's actually well written, I should say. I have a question, though, a very direct one. What do you have to say to your colleague, Mitt Romney, in the Senate, who hasn't endorsed you inexplicably?
Well, look, each of my colleagues has the right to make up his or her mind on what to say, what not to say, what to whom to endorse or, and not to endorse. He's made his choice. But I will say this. Voters in Utah have a choice to make in the coming weeks. They can choose between me, one who is a solid Republican, stands behind conservative principles, defends the Constitution at every turn. I don't think you'll find anyone in the Senate more committed to defending those principles than I am, or the principles of our party generally. My opponent is endorsed by the Democratic Party. He voted for Joe Biden. He encouraged other people to vote for Joe Biden. He praised everything Joe Biden has done as president, and he criticized everything Donald Trump ever did as president. It's a clear choice, and I don't think it should be something people struggle with if they are, in fact, Republicans. And I think it's very important to point that out. We've got a lot of voter confusion in Utah because my opponent, who is the de facto Democrat in this race, even though he's selling himself as a Democrat, is not someone who shares our views. And I need all the support I can get. This race is tightening, and according to one of our two statewide newspapers, the Deseret News, I'm only 2 points ahead of this guy. And he's raising money through Act Blue, the National Democratic Progressive Donor Network, hand over fist, and I've got to be ready to match that. So any within the sound of your voice, I'd encourage to go to my website at leaveforsenate.com and help me get through this.
Yeah. So, Senator, let's just dive into this a little bit more so our audience understands. You're an incumbent liberty-loving senator who loves the Constitution, and you've been so good on the Ukraine stuff. You've been so good on overseeing the abuses of DOJ. You understand separation of powers, and you've just been great. You have. And yet you have a challenger that is not running as a Democrat, but is a Democrat. We call him McMuffin McMullen, who is a former CIA agent who's running as a quote-unquote independent, but that's not what he is, confusing the decent people of Utah, appealing to their sense of decency, saying we need to de-escalate our politics, all this nonsense, and then coming after you. Can you just explain that more to our audience? Because this is a very unusual stealthy set of circumstances that really has bubbled up in the great state of Utah.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, this guy ran for president in 2016. He ran ostensibly to the right of Donald Trump, claiming that he would be more fiercely pro-life and he would fight more aggressively to overturn Roe versus Wade. He lost. After he lost, he went out and started a nonprofit through which he paid himself a lot of money, ostensibly a conservative one. That one dried up, so we formed a more left-leaning nonprofit, paid himself a lot of money out of that. Now he's running as an independent for the U.S. Senate, trying to sort of trick people into thinking that if they're Republican, he's their kind of Republican. If they're Democrats, he's their guy. If they're independents, he's their kind of independent. He says as little about his own policy views as he possibly can. And so he's tricking a lot of people. When deep down, when push comes to shove, he's been endorsed by the Democratic Party. He voted for Joe Biden, encouraged other people to do that. If you look at what policy positions he has put out, even though he couches them as I'm a conservative, he uses the word conservative and redefines it.
He's appropriating the term, Senator.
To mean something. Yes, exactly. Complete grammatical appropriation, misappropriation of the term. But he redefined it to mean, you know, all things that Evan McMullen likes. But the guy's turned into a progressive. He's trying to trick people in Utah into voting for him. And that really is tragic.
Yeah, and it's too bad because he's getting a lot of support, obviously, from Mitt and from these national groups and these Silicon Valley people that see this as a way to steal one away. And, you know, for example, I mean, Evan McMullen, he was the one that launched the ads attacking Republicans as racist and GOP as rotten to the core. He was the one that ran as a third-party candidate as a potential sabotage campaign in Utah. And I think it was Bill Kristol who was really behind his campaign and like, oh, yeah, McMullen, you go. And he has some – you look at his website, it is so bland. It is full of abstractions, Senator. And he's like, well, here's my 12 points for renewal of America. And I like the Constitution. Like, okay, tell us more about it. When he very well might caucus with the Democrats and might give more power to Chuck Schumer and give more power in D.C., not to mention the great work that you have done. And so just talk a little bit more about, Senator, how complacency is the enemy here, isn't it? That absent really focusing on this in the proper context, being complacent, the Democrats could steal one from us here.
They absolutely could. Because if, as the Deseret News, one of our two statewide papers, has suggested, if this it really is a race that's within 2 points, within the margin of error, that means he could beat me. If he beats me, that could deprive Republicans of the majority this fall. It would be catastrophic. Now, he's doing everything he can to avoid being accused of that. He's now claiming, well, I wouldn't caucus with either party. You and I both know that.
Yeah, that's a bunch of bull.
You and I both know that doesn't. It's not how it works. Nobody does that. You couldn't get any committee assignments if you could. And so, look, the fact is that if this came down right down to it, he beats me, and there are 50 Republicans there, and if there were 49 Democrats, he'd be in a position to choose the majority leader. You can be darn certain he's not going to caucus with Republicans. He's not going to support a Republican leader. We know that because it's the Democrats who will have elected him. It's the Democrats who endorsed him. It's the Democrats who are funding his campaign. And it's the Democrats whom he has incessantly praised for the last
yes,
5 years.
That's right.
And everything they've
and he
done. While criticizing everything Republicans
shows,
and calling us racist.
That's right. And he would become the most powerful senator. So, Senator, we got a question here from one of our audiences. Dear Charlie, love the show. I'm very confused. I thought Utah was really conservative. Why is this even close? Help explain it. Senator, it's a lot of voter confusion, as you mentioned, right?
Yeah, I think it's a lot of voter confusion. I think it's a lot of people not understanding the fact that this guy, well, he used to be, or at least claimed to be, a Republican. He no longer is. And because he uses the word conservative, some people are tricked into thinking, oh, this is a race that involves basically two Republicans. You've got Mike Lee, one kind of Republican, and Evan McMullen, another kind of Republican who's just running as an independent. And if he does that, he's going to trick a number of people into supporting him. I think a lot of the people who currently support him fall into that camp somewhere. And that is made more complicated by virtue. And just in defense of Mitt Romney, he hasn't actually made an endorsement of this race. He's said
yeah,
that he's staying out.
But him staying out is an endorsement.
The hard part about that is...
Yeah.
Right. And that's the concern. And it's of great concern to me and all of my Republican colleagues who recognize that we absolutely have to retake the majority so we can stop the madness of Joe Biden, so we can stop the dramatic inflation of Joe Biden, the horrible policies of Joe Biden that have left us with open borders, left us vulnerable to tons of setting aside the illegal immigration and the human trafficking for a minute. The fentanyl that's coming in, it's enough to kill millions and millions of Americans. while enriching the drug cartels to the tune of billions of dollars a year. This madness has to stop. Evan McMullen will perpetuate that madness. He will be Joe Biden's guy. He will be Chuck Schumer's 51st vote in the Senate. We can't let that happen. Not in Utah, not on our watch.
Amen.
And so that's why I issue this desperate plea. Anybody who agrees with me, we've got to stop Joe Biden's madness. Please go to leadforsenate.com. And if you can contribute $5, we'd appreciate it. If you can get more than that, we'd appreciate that too.
The only way that they're able to even get close is by lying, because if they ran someone who had a D, Mike Lee would win by 20 points. I want to play a piece of tape here. I asked our team to get some tape here of McMullen. They could only find him on MSNBC. That's the only media we could find him on. This is 128 back in 2017 on him. I stand corrected. This is him on CNN. You know, a lot of cable news diversity hits for him. 128 back in 2017 saying it's taboo that racism is taking over the Republican Party. Play cut 128.
The reason why they don't do that, and I know because I've been a part of it, I've seen it myself, is that there's a taboo within the Republican Party about attacking racism in America. And I know that that's the case because when you do it as a conservative, you get attacked by elements within the party.
So Senator Lee doesn't have good things to say about conservatives or Republicans, goes on CNN very quickly. Share the website one more time and make the closing pitch to our audience.
LeeForSenate.com. That's LeeForSenate.com. And you're right. He also goes on MSNBC a lot. And you know what he did recently on MSNBC? He went on MSNBC and said he did not support, does not support, he opposes overturning Roe versus Wade, and that the conservatives on the court were wrong. So look, this is, we're playing with live ammo here. This is a big deal. We've got to stop this guy. And the best way we can do that is to give us the ammo we need to win this campaign. Is go to leadforsenate.com.
Amen. Well, and what's so funny is he ran against Donald Trump in 2016 for president, I put in quotes, because he said Trump was inadequately pro-life. The whole thing is such a fraud. He is a fraud. He's a synthetic creation of the worst parts of the Uniparty. Senator Lee, we're behind you. Keep campaigning hard. Any way we can help, let us know. Thank you, Senator Lee.
Thank you, Charlie. Okay.
Email us freedom@charliekirk.com. Open up your podcast app, type in Charlie Kirk Show, and subscribe in the upper right-hand corner. That is Charlie Kirk Show, and subscribe in the upper right-hand corner. I've spent a lot of time with Senator Lee. He really gets it. He understands where rights come from. He understands our system, the structure of our government. He's a very deep thinker. He's not going to D.C. to go be somebody, and D.C. changes a lot of people. No, he goes there and he fights for liberty, especially against endless wars. He's been so good on that topic. He's really been good on it. And it's been a great treat to be, you know, to get to know Senator Lee throughout the years. And he speaks at our Turning Point USA events, and he's so humble, and he's so direct in how he communicates. And so it'd be a shame if we don't wake this up. Utah's a great state. Let's get everyone educated and get Senator Lee across the finish line. If you want to know what the left's real plan is for your kids, just look at how they react to the wonderful company of Patriot Mobile. I use Patriot Mobile, and you should too. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative cell phone provider. This is because they take a portion of your bill and fund conservative causes and candidates who believe in sanctity of life, freedom of speech, the Second Amendment, and they're winning. Patriot Mobile's amazing. They have affordable plans for you, your family, even your business. They offer the same nationwide coverage as the major carriers because they use multiple major networks. Plus, you're supporting conservative values with every call. Go to patriotmobile.com/Charlie or call 972-PATRIOT. Get free activation with the offer code CHARLIE. Special discounts are also available for veterans and first responders. That's patriotmobile.com/Charlie. Join our movement, make the switch today, and make a difference tomorrow. patriotmobile.com/Charlie. That is patriotmobile.com/Charlie or call 972-PATRIOT. PatriotMobile.com/Charlie. We could make this whole segment into a joke, and I'm going to try to pepper in some humor because humor is the only way you could survive with just the tragedy that has become the United States government. And so we'll do a little of that. But it's just a very serious thing. Cammy is in Korea. South Korea. Well, I think she's in South Korea. We'll find out if she even knows where she is. And I think that some of the kind of Joe Biden dementia is rubbing off on her. So Cammy is at the DMZ, and she gives a speech. And in the speech, she mentions the wrong Korea. Now, not only is this administration full of resentment towards America, not only are they very deceitful in how they communicate, not only are they arrogant in their posture and in their attitude, but they're also ignorant and just not very smart. And I wish that was not the case. I wish that these people were very smart and humble. I find zero joy. This is one of the problems when you fail up in California. You're just super corrupt. You're willing to cut deals and do whatever Kamala Harris did to get into power. Just ask Willie Brown. Kamala Harris on the DMZ, who, by the way, may become president at some point. This is not a joke. She says, we have a very important alliance with the Republic of North Korea in prepared remarks. Play cut 120.
So the United States shares a very important relationship, which is an alliance with the Republic of North Korea. And it is an alliance that is strong and enduring.
Does she not even hear herself when she talks? This stuff can create wars. And they used to go after Donald Trump for what exactly? For having too many Diet Cokes? Or, oh, he's slurring his words. Meanwhile, you have Joe Biden on the other side of the planet, in our country, speaking to the dead. Play cut 94.
I want to thank all of you here for including bipartisan elected officials like Representative Governor, Senator Braun, Senator Booker, Representative Jackie, are you here? Where's Jackie? I didn't think she was going to be here.
Jackie Walorski is dead. Jackie died in August in a car accident in Indiana. You got to listen to that tape again. This is Joe Biden saying, where's Jackie? I didn't think Jackie would be here. Play cut 94.
And I want to thank all of you here for including bipartisan elected officials like Representative Governor, Senator Braun, Senator Booker, Representative Jackie, are you here? Where's Jackie? I didn't think she was going to be here.
Yeah, she's not going to be there, Joe. She's deceased, tragically. We don't do a lot of this on our program. We don't do the Biden gaffe thing. We do it here and there. I think it's overdone at times because we get it. But this is no longer a joke. It isn't. And this is why, you know, we had Dr. Barna on earlier in the program. And he's like, yeah, Americans want more kindness. I'm sorry, I'm not going to be kind to these people. These are dangerous fools. Kindness is over. Resign. Impeach. Get out of office. It's not a joke. It's not playtime. You're not a mayor of some mid-level city. Even if you were a mayor of a mid-level city and you made these gaffes, it wouldn't be acceptable. You're the leader of the greatest nation ever to exist in the history of the world. Implemented. She's on the DMZ. She's the vice president. And then Joe Biden just starts wandering off. Man, this is so hard to watch. Cut 129.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Mr. President.
He just wanders into the distance. Kamala Harris is supposed to be in charge of our border. She's at the DMZ stoking nuclear war, saying we have an alliance with North Korea. In prepared remarks, Joe Biden is speaking to the dead and also just wandering off after remarks. We deserve a lot better than this. Onward, 40 days to November 8th. Victory is the only option. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.